啊，真的知音服务源于聆听，诸位尊敬的奉献者们晚上好，今天是2010年1月31日星期一晚上7点钟，今天我们又有幸请到了敬爱的 Giridhar Swami 来给大家讲 Krishna 快乐的源泉的这一的课程，所以今天的晚上的翻译呢是由 Gopitita Devi Dasi。 OK Maharaj, you can start
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So again, I'd like to tell you how honored I am to be able to speak with you.
我今天晚上又再次非常幸运的，非常荣幸能够跟你们讲话。
Today we are going to.Begin discussing chapter 1, the advent of Lord Krishna.
今天呢我们就开始讲Krishna 的逍遥时光的第一章，就是主 Krishna 的显现。
But before we start, there is a special prayer which Srila Prabhupada offers before his introduction of the Krishna book.
但是在开始之前呢，那么圣帕巴经常在他就在讲这个 Krishna book 之前，他会先读过一段祷文。
And this prayer is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, 7th chapter, 96 verse.
这个祷文呢是选自于 Chaitanya Charitamrita 第七章的第96十节。
It was chanted by Lord Chaitanya when he was starting his tour of South India.
那是主切丹尼在开始他在南印度旅行之前唱诵了一段祷文。
So I will chant this prayer before each class, and you all can gradually learn it and chant along.
所以呢，我会在每一堂课开始之前都会唱诵这段祷文，那么你们大家也可以跟着我慢慢的学习，到了后来也可以跟我一起唱诵。
Okay, it goes like this.Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hey. Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hey. Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Rakshamam. Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Pahimam.Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava Rakshamam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava Pahimam. So the first part of the prayer is translated, O Lord Krishna, please protect me and maintain me.
这个祷文的第一段的译文是哦，亲爱的主 Krishna, 请保护我并维系我。
The second part of the prayer is translated, O Lord Ram, descendant of King Raghu, please protect me.
第二段的意思是，亲爱的主 Rama, 拉库王朝的后裔，请保护我。
O Krishna, O Keshava, killer of the Keshi demon, please maintain me.
O Krishna, O Keshava, Keshi 魔的屠杀者啊，请维系我。
So my plan is to teach slowly.Going through the chapters one paragraph at a time and taking time to add corresponding points from other scriptures or thoughts I may have.
那我的计划呢是慢慢的来，然后我会 一段一段来讲，然后再同时呢选 再选一些其他的经典里面所讲的内容。
And I will keep my classes to 1 hour in length.
我会把我的课程限制在一个小时。
So it may take 2 or even several classes to finish one chapter.
所以呢，要讲完一章，有可能会花两节或者甚至更多的课堂。
Now, in the still quiet of the early morning hours, Srila Prabhupada would study commentaries by the previous acharyas.
那么在很早期的时候，释迦牟尼他会开始这个先前的阿赖耶的评注。
Holding the dictaphone close to his mouth, he began to translate.
他一大清早就开始把其他先生的差的评书拿来，然后拿着这个对讲机开始翻译了。
I've listened to some of the original dictations of the Krishna book, and it is quite amazing how Srila Prabhupada draws the essence out of these commentaries and creates his own unique version.
那我曾经听到过帕巴的一些原理和这些讲，当时非常的震撼。他是怎么样？
That was not so clear. Maybe you want to repeat it.
庞帕的，我当时听了庞帕的一些最原来的这些队长他的这个听写的这个队长的这个原稿，所以当时我非常的震撼。庞帕能够把这所有的先前传下的这些评注的精髓都抽了出来。
So therefore it is said that only highly advanced and empowered Vaishnavas can compile Vaishnava literature.
So, 譬如说只有一些非常非常进步的并富有力量的 Vaishnava 他们才能够撰写 Vaishnava 文献。
Srila Prabhupada relies heavily on Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary.
Srila Prabhupada 他在很大程度上都依赖这个 Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur 的评注。
I saw that when I read the commentary myself.
我自己也看到了他的这个评注。
In fact, much of Srila Prabhupada's introduction to the Krishna book is taken from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on the first 16 verses of the first chapter of the 10th canto.
事实上 Srila Prabhupada 在这国家瓦的第十篇的前面16个诗节他都是在很大时候都是摘选这 Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur 的评注。
But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada has woven his own unique tapestry of Leela and philosophy.
但与此同时呢，圣巴巴也加入了自己的这些很多他的哲学和领悟在里面。
So we see Srila Prabhupada the Acharya,following closely in the footsteps of the previous acharyas.
所以呢，我们就看到了Srila Prabhupada这个 acharya， 他也是紧紧的追随着其他的先前 acharya 的步伐。
What to speak of us?
更不要说我们了。
We should learn to become Prabhupada Anugas, following closely in the footsteps of our own Srila Prabhupada.
我们呢应该努力的成为 Prabhupada Nuga， 也就是说我们应该紧紧的追随Srila Prabhupada的步伐。
Now, let us start discussing the chapter.
现在我们就来开始讨论这一章。
Srila Prabhupada begins by explaining that about 5,000 years ago, demons were posing themselves as kings.
Srila Prabhupada 他开始是在介绍五千年前那些恶魔们，他们把自己表现为这些恶魔们就成了国王。
Due to their sinful activities, the whole world became agitated.
那么因为他们的罪恶活动呢，整个世界都受到了极大的干扰。
So I had a comment in relation to that point that the result of sinful activities creates.A heavy burden to the earth.
所以呢，就这一点，我有一个评注，就是这个很沉重的这个罪恶活动对这个地球会带来巨大的负担。
And the resulting karma comes in the form of earthquakes.
因为这一夜半呢，就出现了地震。
Tornadoes.
就是火山爆发。
Hurricanes.
旋风。
Floods,
洪水
no rain,
或者说干旱无雨
too much rain,
或者雨水太多
pests eating food crops,
然后还有庄稼不好
and so on,
等等。
So Srila Prabhupada said that Sankirtan lessens the burden by purifying.Everyone and everything it comes in contact with.
所以呢，是不是他们就说这个 Sankirtan 它就会净化我们每个人所接触到的任何的事物。
It is the most important activity.
就是最重要的活动。
This is the heart of Lord Chaitanya's movement.
这是主 Chaitanya 的运动的心脏。
Srila Prabhupada also said that we need to perform Sankirtan just so nature will provide enough rain to grow food.
Srila Prabhupada 说我们就应该举行这个 Sankirtan, 这样这个大自然就自然就会提供足够的雨水和食物。
Without it, rainfall will cease and there will eventually be a shortage of food worldwide.
因为如果雨水不足的话自然而然这食物也就会不足。
People are already beginning to experience this in recent years.
最近这些年头来人们已经在开始对此有所体验了。
So we have to perform Sankirtan at all costs.
所以我们应该不惜一切代价都要去举行 Sankirtan。
Even if it's only with a few persons or with many, it doesn't matter.
即便是只有几个人还是有很多人都没关系。
Krishna is pleased by the endeavor, and that is the main point.
Krishna 会被我们的努力所取悦，这才是最主要的。
So somehow or another, it's a duty of all of us who are parts of Lord Chaitanya's movement and Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON to perform Sankirtan.
那么我们作为Srila Prabhupada 的 ISKCON 就是去参加 Mahaprabhu 这个运动的一员，这是我们每个人的职责，要去举行 Sankirtan。
So now, back again to our story.
现在回到我们的故事。
The deity of the earth, Bhumi, assumed the form of a cow, and with tears in her eyes, went to Lord Brahma to tell him about the tragedy.
那么这个地球它就显现为这个地球乌米它就显现为化身为一头母牛，眼含热泪来到主 Brahma 面前来告诉这个悲剧。
She was sad and weeping to invoke Lord Brahma's compassion.
她非常的悲伤，而且哭泣着去想要去诱发主 Brahma 对她的怜悯之心。
After telling him about the tragic position of the earth, Lord Brahma became upset, and he went to the ocean of milk where Lord Vishnu resides.
那么主 Brahma 听了这个地球的悲惨的处境之后呢，他非常的难过，他就去到了主 Vishnu 所在的这个元婴之羊啊，牛奶之羊。
So I had a comment in relation to that point.
对这一点呢，我也有一个评述。
That we see how everyone is cooperating very nicely.
我们发现，我们看到，不管我们怎么样好的去配合。
Even though Brahma has such a big position, he isn't proud.
连 Brahma 他这样一个崇高的位置，他仍然不骄傲。
But he does his service in cooperation with those junior to him.
但是他仍然会跟那些比他更年幼的人相配合，把他作为服务，并且去服务。
This is a very good example for us to follow.
这对于我们每个人来说都是一个很好的榜样。
That no matter how senior or junior we may be, we should all cooperate together to practice and propagate Krishna consciousness.
不管我们是多么的年长还是多么的年幼，我们都应该互相配合，一起去传播 Krishna 之觉。
Now, we should strive to have sweet and harmonious relationships with all the Vaishnavas.
我们应该努力和所有的 Vaishnava 有一种非常甜美的、配合和谐的关系。
This is such an important principle that Srila Prabhupada stressed constantly.
这个原则是如此重要，是Srila Prabhupada经常都会强调这一点。
So let us think about that.
所以让我们大家来想想这一点。
Now, again, we'll go back and discuss further.
再回去继续讨论。
Now, Lord Brahma was joined by all demigods.Headed by Lord Shiva, and Bhumi followed.
那么主 Brahma 和主 Shiva 就带着一大群半神人，后面跟着 Bhumi 就一起去了。
At the milk ocean, Lord Brahma began to pacify Lord Vishnu, who before had saved the earth in the form of a boar, Varaha.
那么这个主 Brahma 呢，他就开始在牛奶之羊去抚平这个刚刚化身 Varaha Dev 来拯救地球的主 Vishnu。
Now I had a comment in relation to Varaha.
这只 Varaha 呢，我也有一个评述。
There's a pastime mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam third canto, wherein. Go ahead.
在圣典博迦瓦坛第三篇里面有一个逍遥时光。
And there is mentioned that Hiranyaksha, the brother of Hiranyakashipu, he knocked the Earth planet out of its orbit and it fell into the Garbhadak ocean.
在那呢就提到黑让亚卡西夫的哥哥黑让亚克夏，他把这个地球先离轨道，然后落进了这个 Garbhadaksha 那个海洋的这个洋底。
Garbhadak Ocean。
Garbhadak Ocean 那个海洋。
So Lord Brahma was confused about what to do, and he began to meditate on the situation.
所以主 Brahma 他非常迷惑，不知如何是好，他就开始冥想这个处境。
And as he was meditating, out of his nostril came the form of a very small boar.
那么就在他冥想的时候呢，从他的这个鼻孔里面就出来了一只非常非常小的雄猪。
And this boar grew to a very, very huge size.
然后这只雄猪就突然慢慢就长大，变成一个很，就成了一头非常非常大的雄猪。
He went from the nostril of Lord Brahma, and he flew into the sky, and he just expanded his size so, so large.
那么他就从这个主 Brahma 鼻孔里出来之后，他就把自己的身体扩得非常的大，飞了出来。
He was lotus-eyed.
他有莲花般的眼睛。
And very beautiful in every way.
就是在每一个方面都非常的美丽。
In fact, his fur glowed, his hoofs shined like diamonds, and his tusks were milk white.
事实上，他全身都闪闪发光，发出就像钻石一样的光芒。他的那个牙齿就好像牛奶一样洁白。
Now we don't usually think of a boar.Who is related to a hog, I think it's in the same family, as a creature that is beautiful. In fact, for those of us who have visited Vrindavan, we see that the hogs there are very filthy.
事实上我们去过文达湾的人我们就知道那街道上那些猪都非常的脏。
They're covered with mud.
全身都是尘土泥土。
And they're, you know, with their nose rooting around in the garbage.
那他们的鼻子到处去找垃圾。
Very disgusting.
看起来非常的让人憎恶。
But here, in this instance,the Lord came in the form of Varaha, a boar, and that boar form was very, very, very beautiful.
但是呢，当主以雄猪的形象显现的时候，这头雄猪就非常非常非常的美丽。
So even when the Lord takes a position as a so-called creature of the material creation, that form.Is extraordinarily beautiful.
所以呢，虽然说主当时是接受了一个好像看样子好像是一个物质自然创造的一个生物体的形象，但这个形象也非常的美丽。
So this Varaha, he dove into the Garbhadak Ocean, and he rescued the planet by picking up with his tusks. You know, the boars have those tusks, and then he swam to the surface, and he placed the earth on the surface and cause it to float.
所以呢，这个行珠组 Varahadev 他就潜到这个海洋底，然后用自己的牙齿把这个地球给顶了上来，然后他游到这个洋底洋这个海洋的表面，然后再把这个海这个地球放在这个海的表面。
So how can the Earth float? It's so heavy.
地球是如此的沉重，它怎么可能浮在水面呢？
The explanation is that the Lord, by His glance, and His energies, allowed it or gave it the ability to float on the ocean.
这个解释呢，就是说因为这个 ，Sorry, Maharaj, could you repeat this one?
I said that normally the Earth planet is very heavy, so it would not float, but the Lord Varaha, he placed it on the Earth, on the surface of the Garbhadak Ocean, and by his glance, he empowered it, he gave it the power to float.
Mm.通常情况下这个地球呢是非常沉重的，看起来是不可能浮在水面的。但是呢当这个主巴拉哈他把这个地球放在嘎布达克这个海洋表面的时候，他一个撇士就赋予这个地球以力量，让它能够浮在水面。
So it's understood that half of each universe is full of water, and that's called the Garbhadak Ocean.
就是知道这个地球整个的一半都是充满了水，所以它就被称为 Garbhadak 海洋。
And Garbhadakshai Vishnu, who is an expansion of Mahavishnu, he's lying on that ocean.
Garbhadakshai Vishnu 他作为主 Mahavishnu 的一个扩展，他就躺在这个 Garbhadak 海洋上面。
And from his navel, a lotus flower sprouts, atop which Lord Brahma is born.
从他的肚脐上面就长出一朵莲花，那么这个主 Brahma 就从这个莲花里面出生了。
So half of each universe is full of water, and the other half is full of air.
所以这个宇宙的一半它都是充满了水，那么另外一半呢都是空气。
That is where the planets float due to the arrangement of the Lord.
那么这就是由于主的安排的，所有的星球就浮在这个地方。
Scientists call this the law of gravitation.
科学家们就把它称之为重力原则。
But in reality, it is really just one of the Lord's many energies.
但事实上，这就是主的能量之一。
So now, Varaha, then he did battle with Hiranyaksha and killed him by kicking him in the root of the ear with his hind leg.
So now, Varaha, he used his hind leg to kick Hiranyaksha and he killed him.
That was not clear. You have to say it again.So this is an example of the Lord's kind of mood of sporting.
这就是主的一种游戏的心态的一个例子。
Just like we have a propensity for sporting.
就好像我们都有想要去游戏这样一种倾向一样。
And sporting also sometimes means fighting.
游戏有的时候也就意味着打仗。
So the fact that we have that propensity means that in its original form, it's found in the Lord.
之所以我们会有这样一种倾向，那就是因为它原本来其实是来自于主本人的。
So sometimes when the Lord comes to this world, He enjoys.Mock fighting, sporting with his devotees who are sometimes in the form of demons.
所以当主来到这个地球的时候，有的时候呢，他就会跟他的这些以恶魔的形象出现的这些奉献者呢，以 一种作战这样出现这样的作战这样的游戏形式。
Because it's understood that Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were actually giant Vijay. Go ahead.
Hiranyakashipu 和 Hiranyaksha 其实都是 Jaya 和 Vijay.
And they had fallen from Vaikuntha due to the curse of the four Kumaras.
他们因为受到了 Kumara 四兄弟的诅咒，就从 Vaikuntha 掉了下来。
And this was the first of three births they had to take for penance.
因为他们作为忏悔，他们得投身三世，那么这是他们的第一世。
So now we will go back to the flow of our story here in the Krishna book.
现在我们再回到我们 Krishna book 的这个故事里面。
So generally,the demigods, they offer their obeisances to Vishnu by chanting the Purusha Shukta prayers.
通常情况下的这些半神他们就会唱上 Purusha Shukta 这些祈祷，向主祈祷。
And it's understood that the highest deity of every planet can see Lord Brahma.
据说每一个星球的最高的这个神像就是主布拉玛。
Brahma can approach Lord Vishnu, not by seeing, but by standing on the shore of the ocean of milk.
So Brahma, 他不是去亲自，他站在这个牛奶之洋的边上能够见到主 Vishnu.
The milk ocean, is found on a planet within this universe called Svetadvipa.
这个牛奶之洋呢，是在一个叫 Svetadvipa 的这个星球上。
So we have experience.Because Prabhupada makes this point of an ocean of salt water on this planet.
像我们说的，Prabhupada就举了这样一个例子，比如说我们知道这个海洋里面都有咸水。
But on other planets, Prabhupada points out that there are oceans of oil, liquor, and other liquids.
但是妈妈就指出来，就在其他的这个星球上面，就比如说有油的水。还有其他的液体。
Now we don't have experience of these types of oceans on this planet, but we have to take it on the strength of Srimad Bhagavatam that such oceans exist on other planets.
那我们已经体验了在这个地球上有这样的水，那我们就借着这个经典上的这个力量呢，我们就知道在其他的星球上也有类似的水。
So the Vishnu form on the milk ocean is called Shirodakshaya Vishnu.
那么所以呢，这个 Vishnu 的这个形象呢，就被称为 Shirodakshaya Vishnu.
And he is called Shirodakshaya Vishnu because actually the first part of his name.Shiro or Kir means milk.
其实它的名字的前面部分 Shiro 或者 Kir 的意思就是牛奶。
So therefore he has the name Shirodakshaya Vishnu as he's lying on the ocean milk.
所以呢他就有了这个 Shirodakshaya Vishnu 这个名字，就是躺在牛奶之洋上面。
So this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead's form through which all incarnations.Within this universe appear.
那么这就是至尊人格守身，他以不同的化身的形象来到这个地球上。
After the demigods offered Purusha Shukta prayers to Shirodakshaya Vishnu, they heard no response.
但是当这些半神人向 Shirodakshaya Vishnu 献上这个 Purusha Shukta 祷文的时候，他们没有得到回应。
Lord Brahma then sat in meditation.
然后就坐下来开始冥想。
And there was, as Prabhupada says, a message transmission from Lord Vishnu to Lord Brahma.
那么圣帕帕就说到，在这个时候呢，这个信息就从主 Vishnu 那儿传到了主 Brahma 的心中。
Now Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, he has made a relevant point in this regard.
在这一方面呢 Vishnu Privati Thakur 就做出了一个相关的评述。
He points out that even Lord Brahma cannot see or meet Lord Vishnu directly.
他指出了连主 Brahma 本人也没办法清晰地看到或者接近主 Vishnu 本人。
While in meditation, he heard a voice in the sky.
那么当他在冥想的时候呢，就听到空中一个声音。
So to see Lord Vishnu directly is not possible even for Lord Brahma.
所以连主 Brahma 本人也没办法直接见到主 Vishnu。
Thus, when Krishna, the origin of Vishnu, shows himself directly to all men when he appears on earth,
因此呢，当主 Krishna 他作为这段人格所成本人亲自显现在这个地球上面，让所有人都能见到他。
That is a display of his extraordinary mercy, which is not available at any other time.
这是在表明他已经向所有人展示了一个巨大的一个极度的仁慈，是在其他的时候他都没有展示过。
So when Krishna comes to this world personally, it's very special.
所以当 Krishna 亲自来到这个世界的时候，这一点，这也是非常特别的。
Just like when he came 5,000 years ago, so many persons saw him.
像他在五千年前来的时候，有那么多人都见到了他。
Many got his mercy.
很多人得到了他的仁慈。
But there were others who somehow weren't qualified, and even though they saw him,they weren't able to get the benefit.
但是还有一些人，他们是如此的不具备资格，所以即便当他们见到他，他们仍然无法获得益处。
So, in relation to what Prabhupada said about this message transmission.
那么关于主释迦牟尼提到的这个关于信息的传递。
I recently was just listening to a Bhagavad Gita lecture.That Srila Prabhupada was giving.
最近呢，我听了一堂 Srila Prabhupada 讲的国家梵歌的课。
And he was explaining how Sanjaya was broadcasting what was happening on the battle of Kurukshetra, to King Dhritarashtra.
他呢就在解释这个 Sanjaya 是在向 Dhritarashtra 国王，讲述在库鲁之野上面发生的一切战争的情况。
But they were both sitting in a room in the palace, far from where the battle was fought.
但是呢，他们是两个人就，其实是坐在这个宫殿里面，而这个宫殿离这个库鲁之野是非常遥远的。
But somehow, Sanjaya was able to see what was happening and tell Dhritarashtra.
但是呢 ，Sanjaya 却能够看到战场上发生的一切，并且把它告诉了 Dhritarashtra。
So Srila Prabhupada said it was through the medium of the heart.
So Srila Prabhupada 就说这其实是通过心这个媒介。
So somehow or another, these great souls, they have the ability to see things through meditation that are going on in other places.
所以呢，不知怎，就是因为某些原因，这些伟大的灵魂。他们就能通过冥想而能够看到其他的地方发生的事情
or even in other planes of existence
甚至离这个很远的地方
What to speak of Lord Brahma who is the highest living being in the universe
更不要说主 Brahma 了他是整个宇宙里面最高的一个生物体
So again, we'll go back to the flow of the Krishna book.
我们再回到 Krishna book 这个故事的情节当中。
Lord Brahma then told the message that he had received to the demigods for their immediate action.
那么主 Brahma 呢，他就把他接受到的这个信息传给了其他在场的这些半神人，并且做出立即的行动。
This Prabhupada explains is a system of receiving Vedic knowledge.
Prabhupada 就把这个解释，他解释说，这就是接受伟达知识的这个程序。
Vedic knowledge is first received by Lord Brahma from the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the medium of the heart.
伟达知识呢，首先就是由主至尊人格守神本人通过心把这个知识传给了主 Brahma。
And that knowledge is passed down through the unbroken chain of the siblic succession.
这个知识呢，就是通过不间断的使徒传系而传递下来。
So this is a descending process.
所以呢，这个叫做下行程序。
From Krishna, it's coming down, person by person by person, to the present day.
从 Krishna, 然后就一个一个接一个的，由不同的人传到现在。
Now, the message that Lord Brahma received was that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, would appear on earth very soon, along with his powerful potencies.
那么主 Brahma 接受到的这个信息呢，就是至尊主本人，他会在不久就会显现，和他的很强有力的这个能量一起显现。
And as long as he remained on earth to execute his mission of killing the demons and protecting the devotees, the demigod should also remain there and assist him.
只要他还在这个地球上在杀恶魔，保护奉献人们，对所有的半神人也应该在。
The demigod should immediately take birth in the family of the Yadu dynasty, wherein the Lord would also appear soon.
第一半神人呢，应该投身在亚杜王朝，因为主本人也会很快投身在这里。
Krishna himself would personally appear as the son of Vasudeva.
Krishna 本人将会显现为 Vasudeva 的儿子。
He probably quotes one term, Tat Priyatam. Which means the demigod should appear on earth to please the Lord.
意思是这些半神人应该显现在地球以来取悦主。
Any living entity who lives only to satisfy the Lord is a demigod.
任何人如果他活着就会要去取悦主的话他就是半神人
So the demigods were further informed that Ananta the plenary portion of Lord Krishna who is holding up the planets by extending his millions of hoods would also appear by the order of the Supreme Lord
那么这个半神人也听说就 Ananta 就是作为主的偏权扩展也会很快显现在地球上来协助主的使命。
So after instructing and pacifying the demigods and Bhumi with sweet words, Lord Brahma departed for his own home, Brahmaloka.
那么当这个主 Brahma 平息了这所有的半神和 Bhumi 之后呢，他就回到了自己的 Brahmaloka。
So now he has delivered the message that he received from Lord Vishnu.
现在他已经把从主 Vishnu 那儿得到的信息传递出去了。
Now the leader of the Yadu dynasty was King Surasena.
亚杜王朝的领导叫做 Surasena 国王。
And he was ruling over the country Mathura.
他当时统治着 Mathura 这个国家。
And within this country lies the city of Mathura.
在这个国家呢，就有一个城市叫做 Mathura.
And also the district of Surasena, which is named after him.
还有一个区叫做 Surasena, 其实也是以他的名字命名的。
So Mathura became the capital of the Yadu kings because of King Surasena's excellent leadership.
所以呢，这些亚杜王朝的这些马图尔，就这些国王，他们都成了苏尔塞纳的很得力的助手。
Mathura was also the capital because the Yadus were a very pious family.
马图尔还是首，就是首都，还有一个原因，就是因为亚杜王朝的人，他们都是一些很虔诚的人士，虔诚的家族。
They knew Mathura was the place where Krishna lives eternally, as he also does in Dwarka.
他们知道主 Krishna 生活也生活在这个 Mathura， 就像生活在 Dwarka 一样，永恒的生活在那里。
So once Vasudev, the son of Surya Sen, just after marrying Devaki, was going home on his chariot with his newly wedded wife.
Surya Sen 的儿子 Vasudev 他刚刚和他新婚的妻子 Devaki 正在车上回家的路上。
Can you say that again? You broke up.
Surya Sen 国王的儿子 Vasudev 刚刚娶了新婚的妻子 Devaki， 他们正在回家的路上。
The father of Devaki, known as Devaka, had contributed many gifts because of his affection for his daughter.
Devaki 的父亲 Devaka， 他都因为对自己的女，他非常爱自己的女儿，所以呢，他给了他很多的礼物。
Now Kamsa, the son of Ugrasen, in order to please his sister.Voluntarily took the reins of the horses of Vasudev's chariot and was driving.
那么 Ugrasena 的儿子 Kamsa 为了取悦他的妹妹 Devaki， 所以他就自愿报名，他为这个 Vasudeva 的他来为 Vasudeva 驾这个马车。
And Prabhupada said this is a Vedic custom.
妈妈说这其实是一个伟大的传统。
Since the girl may feel separation from her father's family.The brother goes with her until she reaches her father-in-law's house.
那么因为他们可能这个女孩子她会因为跟父亲的分离而感受到痛苦，所以呢，她的哥哥就会为她驾车，直到她到达自己公公婆婆的家里为止。
So, Devaka, he gave this very, very large and opulent dowry.
所以呢 ，Devaka 他就给他的女儿很大很多的嫁妆。
It consisted of 400 elephants decorated with golden garlands.
有400头由鲜花花环装饰着的大象。
15,000 decorated horses.
15,000匹装饰的马，有装饰的马。
1,800 chariots.
1,800辆马车
，and 200 beautiful girls to follow Devaki.
还有200个美女跟着 Devaki.
This is an amazing opulence.
这是巨大的，让人非常震撼的一种富裕。
Just to think, 5,000 years ago, just at the beginning of Kali Yuga, that kind of opulence was still there.
就想象五千年前卡利年代刚刚开始的时候，还有这样的富裕。
But nowadays there's practically nothing.
但到了现在，几乎是什么都没有了。
Maybe in the marriage exchange, you know, there's given a small diamond and gold ring.
可能在这个婚礼上面，为了作为交换的，可能会有一个小小的那个钻石戒指。
But it's often so small, you can't even hardly see it.
但是呢，这个钻石是那么的小，甚至你几乎都看不见。
And still people are proud. Oh, you see my diamond ring?
但是人们还是非常骄傲地说，你看到我的钻石戒指了吗？
So Prabhupada says that this has been the practice for at least the last 5,000 years.
所以呢，他们话说，这其实已经是之前的五千年前的，至少是五千年以来的一直在做的事情。
So even today, even though Kali Yuga has progressed to the level it has, many times like movie stars and other famous personalities, they come to India for very, very large and opulent weddings.
所以即便到了卡利年代已经非常昌盛的时候，有很多西方的这些那些大明星啊等等电影明星，他们都会到印度来举行一场非常隆重的婚礼，伟大的婚礼。
Yeah, in fact, recently, a famous movie star who had met Radhanath Maharaj in the U.S. Had his wedding performed in India.
事实上，最近美国的一个很出名的电影明星就是 Radhanath Maharaj 在印度为他举行他的婚礼。
And when he met Radhanath Maharaj in the U.S., he asked his advice about the wedding and what to expect and what to do and how to act and so on.
那么当他在美国见到 Radhanath Maharaj 的时候，他还向 Maharaj 询问关于婚礼的一些意见，来问他应该怎么办啊，应该指望一些，因为有什么样的期待，应该怎么做啊，等等。
So even today, in the midst of Kali Yuga, there are parts of India that has this charm.
所以呢，即便现在这个卡利年代，印度的某一部分还是很迷人的。
And there's still quite a bit of opulence there.
而且呢，仍然有很多的财富在那里。
Say that again, please.
而且仍然有很多的富裕存在。
So, as Devaki and Vasudeva were going on their chariot, they passed musicians playing very melodious music.
所以呢，当 Vasudeva 和 Devaki 在前行的时候，他们就经过了一些弹奏着非常优美的乐曲的这样一个乐队。
No, not clear. Say it again, please.
当 Vasudeva 和 Devaki 在前进的时候，他们经过了弹奏着非常美妙的、优美的乐曲的这音乐家。
There were conch shells, bugles, and kettle drums.
有海螺，有鼓什么的，鼓锣齐鸣。
So all of this created a very, very pleasing atmosphere.
那么这一切呢，就制造了一种非常非常。宜人的气氛。
Kamsa was driving very happily.
Kamsa 为他驾车驾得很开心。
When suddenly there was a miraculous sound vibrated from the sky above.
突然，这个空中从他头顶出现了一个奇迹般的声音。
It announced.
这个声音就发出一个宣布。
Kamsa, you are such a fool.
Kamsa, 你真蠢。
You are driving the chariot of Devaki and Vasudeva, but you do not know that the eighth child of your sister will kill you.
你在为 Vasudeva 和 Devaki 驾车，但你不知道 Devaki 的儿子会第八个儿子会杀死你。
So this Kamsa, the son of Ugrasen, of the Bhoja dynasty.
那么 Kamsa 作为 Ugrasena 就是这个 Bhoja 王朝的 Ugrasena 的儿子。
He was the most demoniac of all the Bhoja kings.
这个所谓 Bhoja 这个国王当中，他是最具有恶魔品性的一个国王，一个人。
He immediately grabbed Devaki's hair and was about to kill her with his sword.
他一把抓住 Devaki 的头发，就想用自己的剑把他给杀了。
Vasudeva was astonished at Kamsa's behavior.
Vasudeva 看到 Kamsa 这个行为，他大吃一惊，惊得目瞪口呆。
And in order to pacify this cruel and shameless person, he began to speak as follows with great reason and evidence.
那么他为了抚慰这个恶魔性的人物，他就开始带着很，就是说了非常有说服力的话。
No, not clear.
为了抚慰这个恶魔 Kamsa, 他就说了一些非常能够抚慰他的很有说服力的话，跟他说道理。
So this section of the story is very important.
这个故事的这一部分呢非常的重要。
Because Vasudeva's philosophical arguments to Kamsa are very relevant to us as well.
因为 Vasudeva 对 Kamsa 举出的这些哲学性的辩论跟我们今天也非常的息息相关。
If we study and learn these arguments that Vasudeva gives to Kamsa, we can use this in much of our preaching.
如果我们能够去研究去学习 Vasudeva 对 Kamsa 做出这所谓的论点的话，其实是非常有助于我们的传教活动的。
Sorry, not clear. Can you say it again, please?
如果我们能够细细的去研究 Vasudeva 对 Kamsa 提出的这些论点，这是很有助于我们的传教的。
So Vasudeva begins by saying, "My dear Kamsa, you are the most famous." Yeah. Okay.
所以 Vasudeva 就开始说，我亲爱的 Kamsa， 你是最出名的国王。
You are the most famous king of the Bhoja dynasty.
你是 Bhoja 王朝最出名的国王。
People know that you are a great warrior and heroic king.
人们都知道你是一个伟大的战士，也是一个英勇的国王。
How is it that you are so angry that you are prepared to kill your own sister at this auspicious time of her marriage?
但是你怎么能够在这么吉祥的婚礼的时候居然想要去杀死你的妹妹呢？
Why should you be so afraid of death?
你为什么就这么害怕死亡呢？
Death is already born along with your birth.
在我们出生的时候，死亡已经紧随而来了。
From the day you were born, you began to die.
就从我们出生的那一天开始，我们已经在走向死亡。
Suppose you are 25 years old.
就比如说你25岁。
That means that you have already died 25 years.
你如果25岁，就意味着你已经死了25年。
Every second you are dying.
你在每一秒钟都在死亡。
Why should you be so afraid of death?
你为什么要这么害怕死亡呢？
Again, he repeats the same point. Why should you be so afraid of death?
然后他又重复了这一点，他说，你为什么要这么害怕死亡？
He said, death is sure.
死亡是肯定会来的。
Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he makes a point.You know, in reference to death, that in the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, 27th verse.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur 就举了一就讲了一个谈论一下这个死亡，这个在《国家梵歌》的第二章的第27节里面提到。
That's a famous verse often quoted by Prabhupada. Jatasi hidribo mityor juvam janma mrtasi cha.Tasmad apari hariyarti natum sochitam arasi. One who has taken his birth is sure to die.
这个世界是非常出名的，是他们经常引述的。他说，一个出生的人，他肯定会死。
And after death, one is sure to take birth again.
死后，有生必有死，死后必再生。
Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament.
因此在履行你的附定职责的时候，你不应该有所悲伤。
So Vasudeva continues, he says, you may die today or in 100 years, you cannot avoid death.
所以 Vasudeva 继续说，你可能今天死，也可能100年以后死，但是你是无法避免死亡的。
Why are you so afraid?
为什么要这么害怕呢？
So again now, the third time he says this.
所以他这又第三次发出了这样一个问，提出了这样一个问题。
This is the nature of the material world that the materialists are very afraid of death.
这就是这个物质世界的本性，物质主义者他们非常害怕死亡。
They're attached to the material body, and they think when the material body finishes that.Everything is over.
他们非常依附这个物质躯体，然后他们认为当物质躯体结束的时候，一切都结束了。
But we understand that that is not a fact.
但我们知道这并不是事实。
The body may cease, but the soul goes on.
这个躯体可能会终止，但灵魂却会一直持续下去，延续下去。
And for one who elevates his consciousness and comes to a pure state, he'll be able to finish all of these births and deaths.
当一个人提升，不断提升自己的知觉，到了进化的阶段，最后他能够终止死亡，终止生死。
So Vasudeva says that death means annihilation of the present body.
所以 Vasudeva 就说，死亡其实意味着现有的躯体的毁灭。
As soon as the present body stops functioning and mixes with the five elements of material nature, the living entity within the body accepts another body according to his karma.
现有的这个躯体，现有的这个灵魂一旦离开现有的躯体，这个躯体融入到物质自然元素当中，这个灵魂又会进入到下一个躯体之中。
Like when a man walks on the street.
就像一个人在大街上行走。
He puts one foot down, and when he is confident that he's on solid ground, he lifts the other foot.
Sorry, Maharaj.
Now what I said he puts one foot down, and when he is confident that he's on solid ground, he lifts the other foot.
所以当他一只脚踏在地上的时候，他会看到他另外一只脚很快会落到地上。
So Vasudeva says, in a similar way, one after another bodies change and the soul transmigrates.
那 Vasudeva 就说，同样的，这个躯体会不断的更换，这个灵魂呢会不断的轮回。
As long as one is conditioned, he must take bodies one after another.
所以呢，这个人他肯定会一次又一次的更换不同的躯体。
This body is exactly like one of the bodies we see in dreams.
这个躯体就好像我们在梦中看到的躯体一样。
In our dreams, we create many bodies in relation to mental creation.
我们在梦中会制造出一些由我们的心意制造的一些躯体。
We have seen gold, and we have also seen a mountain.
比如说，我们看到了金子，看到了山。
In a dream, we see a golden mountain by combining the two ideas.
那么在梦中呢，我们都会看到一座金山。
Sometimes in a dream, we see that we have a body which is flying in the sky.And at that time, we completely forget our present body.
有的时候我们在梦中会看到我们的躯体在空中飞翔，但那个时候我们就完全忘记了我们现有的躯体。
Similarly, these bodies are changing.
同样的，这些躯体也在不断的更换。
When you have one body, you forget the past body.
在现有这个躯体当中，你会忘记前一个躯体。
During a dream, we come in contact with so many new types of bodies.
在这个梦幻当中，我们会接触到不同种类的躯体。
But when we are awake, we forget them all.
但是呢，当我们清醒的时候，我们又把这所有的躯体都给遗忘了。
These material bodies are the creations of mental activities.
所以这些不同种类的躯体都是我们不同的心意活动而制造而成的。
But at the present moment, we do not remember our past bodies.
We do not.
Sorry?
Sorry, my ego is broken. In the present life, we do not remember.
Yeah, this connection is not very good. She's breaking up. Okay.I said, but at the present moment, we do not remember our past bodies.
在现在呢，我们不记得我们前世的躯体。
The nature of the mind is flickering.
心意的本性是摇晃不定的。
Sometimes it accepts something and then immediately rejects the same thing.
有的时候它会接受一件事物，但立即呢，它可能会摒弃同一个事物。
So in relation to this prophet, he says in the Bhagavad Gita that the mind can be the best friend or the worst enemy.
所以就这一点的事情，他在《果迦梵多》里说，心意可能是我们最好的朋友，也可能是我们最坏的敌人。
It's the best friend when it engages the senses in Krishna conscious activities.
当我们运用我们的感官从事 具有 Krishna 知觉的活动的时候，它就是我们最好的朋友。
It's the worst enemy when it engages the senses in sinful activities.
而当我们用自己的感官去从事罪恶活动的时候，心意则是我们最大的敌人。
So now Vasudev says, accepting and rejecting is the mind's process in contact with the five objects of sense gratification.
所以呢 ，Vasudev 现在就说，这个心意呢，它就会随着我们跟不同的感官对象接触的时候。接受和拒绝某些事物，这是功能。
Those five are form, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I said those five are form, taste, smell, sound, and touch.
哦，这五个的感官呢，就是这五个感官的功能就是听、看、闻、触碰，还有嗅觉，还有味觉。
In its speculative way, the mind contacts the objects of sense gratification.
那么同样的，那这个心意就跟这个感官，就这个感官的对象所接触。
And when the soul desires a particular body, he gets it.
那么当灵魂他希望得到某一个特定的躯体的时候，他就会得到这个躯体。
Therefore, the body is an offering by the laws of material nature.
所以这个躯体其实是物质自然给我们的，献给我们的。
Unless we have a particular body, we cannot enjoy or suffer according to mental inclination inherited from the previous life.
只要我们有这个躯体呢，我们如果没有这个躯体，我们就会按照我们的心意的不同的这个愿望而受苦。
So I have one comment here.In relation to this point.
就这一点呢，我有个评论。
Sometimes and many times devotees ask about this point. That what is a ghost?
因为很多时候奉业者会问这个问题，会问到底鬼是什么。
So basically, a ghost is a living entity who has a subtle body but does not have the karma to have a gross body.
基本上的鬼魂就是指一个灵魂，它有它的精微躯体，但是呢，它没有这个，它的业报呢，就是没有这个粗糙的躯体。
And we get a ghost body if we commit suicide.Or if we die in an intoxicated state.
如果我们自杀或者说在一种麻醉的状态死去，那就会得到，就会变成鬼魂。
So we have desires, but no gross body, only a subtle one.
这个时候呢，我们的愿望还在，但是没有粗糙的躯体，我们只有精微的躯体。
We have no senses to fulfill our desires and are simply frustrated.
我们没有感官来协助实现我们的愿望，所以非常的沮丧。
This is a very torturous position.
这是一个让人非常痛苦、深受折磨的处境。
Say it again, please.
这是一个很受折磨的处境。
Therefore, sometimes a living entity with a subtle body will try to take over a gross body.
所以有的时候呢，我们就会有一些有精微躯体的灵魂想要去占据一些粗糙的躯体。
This happens during sleep or if someone is very weak mentally.
这个呢会发生在一个人的睡眠或者说一个人他的心意非常软弱的时候。
So most of us have the experience, during sleep of feeling or seeing the presence of another living entity.
我们大部分人我们都会在睡眠的时候我们有这样的体验就是我们看到或者说听到另外一个生物体。
We may feel a heavy weight on the chest or some other sensation.
我们也会感觉到有一个重量压在我们的胸部或者说其他的位置。
And because we feel that presence, we may become afraid and try to wake up, but we find that is difficult.
那么因为这种感受呢，我们就很害怕，然后想要醒过来，但是呢，这很困难。
So what's happening here?And Prabhupada explains this in other places, is that during sleep, sometimes the soul leaves the body temporarily in the dream state. Yeah.
最主要是因为当我们在睡眠的时候，这个灵魂会暂时离开这个躯体。
And the body is maintained by the super soul.
那这个躯体呢，则是由超灵维系的。
But in most cases, the ghost cannot take over that body because it is not his karma to do so.
但大部分的时间，一个鬼魂他并不能占据另外一个人的躯体，因为这不是他的业报。
So now, more than 1 hour has passed.And we will stop here.
现在一个多小时已经过去了，那我们就讲到这里。
We will continue from where we left off next class.
我们下星期再接着今天结束的时
间。Have to say that again. Say that again, please. Say it again.
我们下星期再接着，我们下星期的今天停止的这个地方再接着讲。
And we're having a little problem with the technology this time.
Sorry?
Anyway, so I want to thank Gopi Geeta Mataji for her excellent translation.
感谢 Gopi Geeta 的讲课。
As many of you remember, Gopi Geeta Mataji used to travel with me during my Kashadev visits.
大家还记得的话 Gopi Geeta 曾经在以前我在 Kashadev 去旅行的时候他跟我一起旅行翻译
And she would kindly translate for me
我会给我翻译、
she was a great assistant
她是一个很好的协助
And I pray that in the futureKrishna will again allow us to travel together to visit you all.
我期待在不久的将来 Krishna 能够允许我们在一起旅行来服务大家。
And I also want to thank Shashi Gopal Charan Prabhu for facilitating the web broadcast.
同时呢，也要感谢 Shashi Gopal Charan Prabhu 来协助安排这个广播。
So, thank you all for listening.
感谢大家的聆听。
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for giving me the chance.
We will meet again next class.
Yes.
Hare Krishna.